Hey, Internet, this is Eric M. Hunter, and this is
Hashtag Radio.
Hashtag Radio.
The year before those two others were killed, the counselors weren't paying any attention. They were making love while that young boy drowned.
In the middle of October, one of my favorite months of the year, for a couple of reasons. One, it's my birthday month, so that's always exciting. I'll be turning 32 this year. Is that right? 32? That's not too bad. 32, about, halfway through? Halloween, obviously, is another big reason. I've always been a fan of Halloween. I still remember the golden days of going out trick-or-treating with my brother and my dad to different neighborhoods, because I grew up on a farm and the closest neighbor was like a mile away. So there was no trick-or-treating to the neighbor's houses. So we went to like the closest town, basically, which ironically enough was the same town that my wife grew up. And it's weird. We're so close and it's like we never met until that one fateful day. For those who follow me on Twitter will know that every October I do a 31 days of horror, where I watch a horror movie at least one a day. I don't typically comment on it other than just like, hey, this is the movie I'm watching, unless if it's something interesting, or some, you know, something noteworthy, which is never the case. There's a couple of traditions when it comes to the 31 days of horror. One, I have to watch a Friday the 13th movie on the 13th day of the month. I did get lucky this month, actually fell on Friday. So that was a kind of a neat thing there. I have to watch Halloween on Halloween Day. Doesn't have to be the first one. Could be any of them. Usually it's the first one. I usually save the original for Halloween just because it's Halloween and, you know, it's, what else do you expect, right? Some point during the month, I try to watch Poltergeist at least once or twice and end up not at all because it still terrifies me today. Another movie that I do that with is The Exorcist. Typically put on The Exorcist once or twice throughout the month and decide this is just, it's too scary for me, so I turn it off. But I end up forcing myself to watch The Exorcist. That's usually the difference. I can still state that The Exorcist is by far the most terrifying movie I have ever seen, just all around, just absolutely terrifying. So this time always reminds me of, like, obviously the horror genre in movies, but also in video games. There are some notable titles in the horror genre. Resident Evil, Alone in the Dark, Fatal Frame, which is a favorite of mine. Even on the indie scene with Five Nights at Freddy's, regardless of what you feel about the series or the game or the developer or what have you, Five Nights definitely did something that very few games have been able to achieve in the indie gaming scene. I am personally not a fan of Five Nights. I know a lot of people who are, and you know, I obviously respect the game for what it is. And what it's done for the community, it's just not a game for me. Even though I will play it occasionally, you know, a couple times a year, just because it is so radically different than any other game that I've, you know, that we're used to. Now there's clones of it everywhere. It's kind of hard to get away from. This time of the year always reminds me back to this one very particular game that I played years ago. I was in high school. So this was circa 2000, 2001, and I took my very first computer programming class with Miss Sinclair. She taught QBasic, and we used QBasic on some very old, like Pentium 2 computers. And we followed it. We had a book, and we followed along. And the majority of the programs that we learned to program were ultimately ended up being games. One of the first games I ever made was the books, the choose your own adventure book style game about a kid who had a big test at the end of the day, and he had to mentally prepare himself both with the knowledge to take the test and get the right answers, and also the mindset as well. So I remember one of the choices was at lunchtime, you could decide to either study, eat lunch, study and eat lunch, or play hacky sack and eat lunch. Yes, for those who remember when hacky sack came back for that very short time in 2001, 2002. It was a very prominent. You could not go to school as the guy who has a hacky sack and not bring it with you, because everybody came to you like during lunchtime or down periods or study hall looking for that hacky sack. And if you didn't have that hacky sack, then you were put on the outs, and that was the last thing you wanted to do, was be put on the outs. But I distinctly remember that putting that in there. And even my teacher was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I mean, okay, like nobody other than you would pick this as the right thing to do over studying and eating lunch. So it was always a fun time. Another game that I play or that I created was I can't remember exactly what the name of the characters was, but we'll just say Billy. It was called Billy and his laser gun, or Billy and his ray gun, or something like that. And it was the first graphical game I ever made. We had to team up with a partner. Still remember my partner. It was Dustin. Man, weird nostalgia. Good. He's a good kid. I'm sure he still is. Well, he's not a kid anymore. I mean, he's 30, 31, 32 now. So, but we teamed up together. I told him I had this idea for basically a very, very bad kind of Missile Command style game where it was Billy. He built a ray gun out of spare parts in his garage, put it on top of his house, and then proceeded to defend his neighborhood from alien spaceships that came coming by. I remember I was trying to cut down the animation as much as possible, so there was only three positions that you could position the ray gun in, left, center, and right, on top of the house. That was the other thing, too. The game took place in the top, like, 20% of the screen, where the rest of it was just the house and, like, a tree. I think there was a swing, a tire swing on the tree, but it was all – none of it was animated. It was all just for looks, but for whatever reason, I was dead centered on – creating this kind of isometric house and then putting Billy and his ray gun on top of this house. And then the spaceships would either show up in one of those three positions. So it was kind of like a whack-a-mole game where the spaceship would show up for a certain amount of time and then you had to hit that direction to shoot it. If you missed it, then you'd lose, or you wouldn't get the points, so many points for you to move on to the next round. And the next round was the mothership, which was this giant spaceship. It was the regular... It was a regular style spaceship that you attacked, the same sprite, just I made it like four times bigger. And the idea was is that it would go from right to left and back and forth. It wouldn't attack you, but you could only hit it when it matched up in one of those three spots, the left, center, or right. And I realized right before I submitted the game that there was a glitch where if you knew the mothership was coming and you knew it was going to be on the right-hand side of the screen, because it always was, you could just hold down the right key and it would just continually shoot the mothership until it exploded, ultimately, you know, beating the game. But always thought how cool it would be to make a game like that now, where obviously it'd be a lot more in depth and it'd be probably more like a Space Invader style game than like a whack-a-mole. But I think it would be interesting to turn into like a multiplayer game where there were like multicolored ships. So like the ships you had to destroy were red, and the person you're playing with, like those ships were blue. You couldn't shoot the blue ships because then you would lose points, and they couldn't shoot the red ships. They would lose points. Whoever had the most points win. Like, I don't know, kind of that stationary gun style Missile Command game. Like, I feel like there's still more there to explore in terms of like gameplay mechanics, but obviously never came to be. It was just me coming up with ideas for silly things. But there was a game that I downloaded because I got real heavy into QBasic because I felt like the language was so raw and so right above the surface of the actual machine, if that makes sense. I mean, it was one step away from ones and zeros. And I don't know, that intrigued me. So like I stayed with the scene quite a bit even after that class. So the QBasic.com, I believe, is the QBasic.org, was basically just I don't know what it is now. I haven't been on it in years, but it was best described as the walls of a urinal. People on writing on walls of a urinal, because the original guy who owned the website, didn't do anything with it, but continued to re-up the domain. There was no admins. There was just nobody maintaining the site. It was basically just a very long threaded message board where people would go on, ask questions, and then, you know, users would go and reply with solutions and that kind of thing. But there was no upkeep. So it was a weird kind of amalgam of a bulletin board from way back in the day to like a shitty chat room. It was a cool time. It was a cool spot to be. Anyway, so there was a game called, I want to say it was either Halloween or Haunted House. I look for the game every year this time of year, because I'll explain later why, but I came across this game. I want to say, was it Haunted? Was it Haunted House or Halloween? I can't remember. And the reason I can't remember is because the theme to Halloween was done on using the crappy QBasic MIDI note where you could physically type notes in, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Yeah, there's a G. And then you can do flats and you could change the octave. And I mean, it was really neat. Creating music on QBasic, but it had the theme to Halloween on it as you started the game. And what it ultimately ended up being was a very poor man's version of a Zork cave dungeon runner where you were typing in commands like north, south, east, and west, and pick up. And for you console gamers, think of a game like Uninvited, Deja Vu. But so the game starts off, you're standing in front of this house, and it's, you know, the Halloween theme is playing. And the idea is that you get into the house, there's a Mike Myers style character in it, but like you can, you know, when you stepped onto the porch, you know, the floorboards creak and you hear motion in the behind the door. Like, it was a very descriptive game. The graphics were obviously, you know, fairly mundane for a QBasic game. But then I do remaining as an offshoot, I'll have to find the game and leave it in the show notes, but there was a game that just got released on Steam that was made completely in QBasic, and it looks amazing. It's like this isometric RPG game or something. I'll throw it in the show notes. But yeah, I saw that news article like a week or two ago. For whatever reason, like, I enjoyed playing this game because I felt like, from somebody who had played Gorillaz, for QBasic, if you've ever played Gorillaz, which is basically a worm style game or a tank style game where you're trying to throw bananas at the other, but the gorilla to destroy them, and kind of like worms or tanks, and you can destroy the environments and you're on cityscapes, or a drug dealer, or Dope Wars. That's what it was called, Dope Wars, where it was all text, and you were a drug dealer, and you had to go into certain cities to buy drugs at a low cost, so you could go to other cities and sell it for a high cost. What was the other game? Oh, there was a strange game that I remember playing on QBasic that was a picture of Bob Saget from Full House. And you had to shoot him in the head, and it would his head would slowly start to dissipate with bullet holes, and then ultimately explode in this giant, spray of blood. What else do I remember playing? And so I just, as a kid, being in this class and playing these QBasic games, or trying to create these QBasic games, and then ultimately finding games to download, for free, obviously, through like these really weird back channel portal, web ring websites, and seeing like what people can really do. Like, it was a very inspiring time for me. Like, I had always said that I wanted to make video games. And then when I got older, I realized that I just, you know, as much as I practice and as much as I learn, like, I just don't have the knack for certain things. Like, I don't have the eye, the mindset for that. But, you know, I always wanted to stay in video games, which is why I do what I do today, which is, you know, talk about video games, and I play and review games, and I write about games. Like, I'm, you know, my finger's still on the pulse. But it's such an interesting time. It's such an interesting thing to be able to step back and look at, like, where did I make my jump into indie gaming? And this stupid Halloween game, the stupid haunted house game for the Q Basic, this very, like, rudimentary, like, basically, you know, Zork style game of typing commands in and trying to get the certain areas in the game. Like, that was my first step into indie gaming, into what indie games were, you know, because this game was just made by, you know, God knows who, and put online, and, like, I found a link to a zip file, with my unregistered version of WinRAR, you know, and played it, from the source file. 'Cause that's how you played. It was, at least back then, it was super hard to play, QBasic games off an EXE, an executable. So you had to find the source file. You had to find, like, the actual source code and to be able to load it into QBasic and then ultimately run. And that was another problem too, is because QBasic wasn't regularly installed on, like, a Windows 95, 98 machine. Like, you had to get it off the disk, and then when I realized that I could save it from the disk to the hard drive of the computer and then run it from there, like, just my mind blew, you know? The old days of computers. I sound like an old man right now. But it's interesting that how important this month is to me, because, you know, obviously it's my birth month and it's Halloween, and I'm a big fan of horror movies and a big fan of horror games, and I'm always reminded of this haunted house game that I played on QBasic. Now, the reason I tell you this story is because, one, it's amusing to me, and I always like telling stories about my life because I feel like it makes me, you know, it makes me closer to you and more of, like, I want you to see me more as a friend than somebody who's, you know, like, you know, pointing fingers and shouting from high atop this, you know, in this magical tower that doesn't exist. But the other important thing is, too, is to remember that guy had no idea, or there's no way he could have phantomed that this was the first game that I would have ever played by an indie developer. He didn't know that, or she. They didn't know that, and they probably didn't even care. They were just creating something that they wanted to create either for themselves or for friends, or maybe in my instance, in my case, it would have been for, like, a school project. But it meant something to me. The thing I want you to remember is, every game that you create, or every person that you talk to or communicate with on social media, whether it be, like, on your blog, your dev blog, or on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat, that could be the first sign to somebody that they want to get into this community, that they want to be a part of something bigger, that this could be the first time that person has had any connection with anything outside of AAA gaming. Now, I don't say that to burden you, to put more, you know, weight on your shoulders or more, you know, stress or anything like that, but this community is ran by passion, which is extremely rare in a lot of communities. I like to side this community with, like, the art community, where creating art for people to buy is near impossible to do. It's hard to find a community where you can legitimately make art to be sold. Now, it obviously it does happen. I mean, you could go to any dollar store or Hancock Fabrics or Joann's or anything like that and find art to buy that was made commercially. But something that is really going to touch somebody, you're not going to find that in a Michaels. You know, you're not going to find that hanging on the walls at your local fast food restaurant. You're going to stumble across it like everything that we stumble across, which is out of the blue or recommended by a friend. And if it's something that you put together, that you are putting together as a passion project that means something to you, then it's going to mean something to somebody else. Now, you may not hear about it, because, I mean, at least, you know, back when I found this haunted house game, there was no way for me to contact this guy who developed the game, because, you know, we all had email addresses back then. We all had, you know, AIM, AOL Instant Messenger, which, again, another sad note, that AOL is striking down Instant Messenger and it'll no longer be available. just remember that whatever game you're working on, whatever project you're working on, whatever group you're working on, make sure you put a little bit of yourself in there. Like, make sure you're happy doing what you want to do. There's a lot of AAA developers that are not happy with what they do. They do it because it's a paycheck and because it puts food on the table and it keeps a roof over their head. Make sure that you're putting a piece of you in every game that you make, regardless of if it's just a quick jam game or if it's just a quick little passion project that you're putting together because you want to see if something actually works out the way that you think it would work out. Because you never know who's going to play it. You never know who it's going to touch. You never know how it's going to affect that person in life. Like, when I played that haunted house game from way, way back in the day, like, it stuck with me. It is the pinnacle time that the very first time that I ever played an indie game. And if you think about that in the long term, like, if you think about how big that is, how big this community has become. And for my first entry into this community was this tiny little Cubasic game. Like, that is amazing to think about. So I'll leave you with this. Happy birthday to me. No, I'm kidding. Happy Halloween. Remember that at the end of the day, you have to do what you're happy with doing. And if making games is what makes you happy, then you need to make those games. If it's not, then you have to find out what's missing. Because if you put out a subpar game and somebody plays it and that is their first step into the indie community, then the chances of them coming back are very unlikely.
Thank you for listening through to the end. If you know someone who would benefit from hearing this episode, please tag them in it. Word of mouth is my fire, so light me up.